How many? Two people. Wow. Three, four. Okay. How many have their Bibles on their phone? Okay. We're all great. We're good. Okay. Cool. You're not going to be able to follow. Well, you might be able to. If some of you rely on our network to be able to, we couldn't get it on because, our internet went down like an hour or less than an hour before service. So we apologize for that. Notes will be available later. But, hey, if you've got your YouVersion, you can at least follow in the New King James or something. But you can follow along with us. We've had a series we've been on for a few weeks titled Limitless. This is our fourth segment of that. And God's really been speaking to us since the beginning of the year about living a limitless life. And really, I believe with all my heart, if you look at the Word of God, God wants us to live a life without limits. A life without limits. And the problem isn't that God can't or won't do it. The problem is you and I don't have the capacity to receive the way God wants to put into our lives. And you see this over and over in Scripture. That's one of the reasons the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12 to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what's the good, perfect, acceptable will of God. You and I are constantly trying to prepare ourselves to be able to receive the truth of God's Word. So we're increasing our capacity or our container, our bucket, however you want to look at it, to believe God for bigger things. And really what that means is we're changing the way that we think. If you want to be frustrated as a Christian, all right, then be a Christian that accepts Jesus as your Lord and Savior and then never read the Word, never pray, and never learn what God's will is for your life. And I guarantee you, you will be frustrated. You'll even get angry from time to time, and you'll think, this doesn't work. So if you want to know how to be frustrated, just do that. But if you want to know how to live a limitless life, then do the things that we're talking about in this series that the Word of God tells us over and over and over. Start changing your thinking. Start lining up your thinking with the Word of God. And you may say tonight, well, I don't know what the Word says. Start to read it. We have Bible reading plans that we have free for you at the Information Center. We have other little booklets and tools out there. If you want help, tell us. We'll help you. There's things online. Well, we do have some, when you can get online. You can't tonight, but when you can get online, we have books on our website, recommendations that you can look at. Matter of fact, on our website, if you click on a book that's over where our books and resources are, it will take you automatically to Amazon. You can purchase that book right there. If you've got an electronic device like I do, you can buy it right there. You can be reading a book right now. So there's all kinds of things, and we can always do better. But listen, we're doing everything we can to try and help you to grow. But one of the main things you and I have got to learn how to do is this year we need to say, this year is going to be a good year. Stop saying it's not going to work. Stop saying my life stinks. All right? Stop saying I'm sick of snow. Okay, that's hard to do. All right, I understand. Snow is definitely a four-letter word lately, isn't it? But you got to stop saying I'll never get promoted. Stop saying I'll never get married. Stop saying I'll never be well. You've got to start believing for prosperity, for promotion, for a new job. Start believing God to be debt-free. I mean, what you should be doing, really, is you should be sowing seed when we take an offering and saying, Lord, I thank you that because I'm helping to promote the gospel and I'm giving, you're giving me money to give into good work, I'm planting seed, and I'll be debt-free in Jesus' name. And then when you write your mortgage payment, you just believe God, and if you can tack extra on there, you tack extra on there, and you say, Lord, I thank you that I'm debt-free in Jesus' name. But then don't go out and borrow more money. Come on, somebody. All right? But start believing God to get involved in your situation by involving him and taking him at his word. Do you realize that's what faith is, taking God at his word? And how many know God's word is good? Hello. It is. His word is good. And with God, you don't need a phone and a pen to get things done. Come on, somebody. Hello. All right. Nobody watched the... All right. Speech last night. All right. Ephesians 3:20, some really foundational scriptures. I didn't watch it either, but I saw a few clips. Ephesians 3, I couldn't watch it, but Ephesians 3:20, some foundational scriptures. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, say that with me, exceedingly, say abundantly. Say exceedingly, abundantly. And we've looked at this scripture every time we've done this teaching because I want it to get in your head and in your spirit where you know that God is doing exceedingly, abundantly things in my life. You got to believe that this year. Above all that we ask, so he's going to do more, say more. according to the power that works in us. He's working in us. When we digest the Word of God, when we do the things the Word says, when we apply our faith, God's working in us. And it says, to Him be glory in the church, Jesus Christ, forever and ever. Now, what we've been talking about this year is that you and I have got to learn how to really change our wineskin. The Lord gave us that word on our New Year's Day service, our first week of the year. We had a service. It was Wednesday. It was New Year's Day this year. And really, that was the word that's been on my heart ever since then, is you and I for 2014 have got to say, Lord, this year, I'm a new wineskin. Come on, somebody. I'm going to let you fill me with new wine. And what does that mean? A new way of thinking. Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. You are going to say what's in your heart. All right? You're hammering something, you're pounding a nail in, and you slip and hit your finger. You'll say, bless God, glory to God, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right. Or you might say a couple other words. But what comes out of your heart is what's in there. If you want to know what's in your heart, then pay attention to what your response is when you go through something. And if it's not the Word of God, that's okay. Find a word that I tell you, there are so many words, whether it's healing you're believing for, whether it's debt freedom you're believing for, something in your finances, something in relationships. For God to promote you. The Word of God is full of it, scripture after scripture, and we give you lots of them every week. All right? Be thankful. Be content. But then believe God for more. I want to read something for you tonight out of the Amplified Bible, Isaiah 60, verse 1, Amplified. He says, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. You know, so many of us are living a depressed, prostrate life where we are just down and out. And the Bible says, pull yourself up out of that situation. Amen? And so that's what you and I need to learn how to do. And that's what this series is about. Tonight, I want to take a look at a miracle that Jesus worked. And in this miracle, I think we can see some principles that will help us to understand the way Jesus lived his life and the way you and I can live your lives. You may be here tonight and say, well, wait, Pastor, you mean I can live like Jesus? Absolutely. You cannot be Jesus, but you can live like him. All right? There's only one Jesus. I'm not him. You're not him. But the body of Christ together is the body of Christ. And Jesus said, greater things you'll do than me, speaking of himself, because I go to my Father and he's sending us the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus lived and walked like you and I should by faith. Jesus had a flesh and blood body just like you and I. He had to be led by the Spirit. He had to tell his mind, shut up. Come on, somebody. He did. Jesus had to fast and pray. How many know that? If Jesus has to fast and pray, guess what? I need to fast and pray because I'm not Jesus. If Jesus had to do it, and he's my goal, all right? But if we do the things the way he did and live that way and stick to it, and don't give up. I mean, it will take work. But if you and I will do that, see, we're so used to just doing our own work rather than working at memorizing the promises of God, meditating on the promises of God, looking at the way Jesus conducted his life and saying, Lord, I can do that. I can live like you and see great things happen in my life. And so I want to take a look at Jesus feeding the multitudes. John chapter 6, verse 4. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Listen, if Jesus asks you a question, it's test time. Hello. He already knows what's going on, all right? And so what's going on here is Jesus wants to see what's inside of Philip so he can teach them a lesson. Jesus is a great teacher. Do you believe that tonight? He is a great teacher. And listen, every opportunity that you and I face, we have a choice. We have a choice. And we'll see that in this story because they had a choice. They could look at things in the natural according to what they knew they could do, or they could look at things the way Jesus did, which was taking what they had and believe for an increase. It's two different things. Now, all you have is what you have. But the way that you look at what you have makes all the difference. If you look at what you have and then try to make more out of it on your own, that will not work. And that's what we see in this story. The key for you and I is to find out what our Father, God, wants us to do. Now, earlier in this series, we talked about how you and I need to beware of the leaven of Herod and the Pharisees. That was one of the things we looked at a couple of weeks ago. Beware of the leaven of Herod and the Pharisees. And really, that means Herod is a type of world, okay, the world. Beware of thinking like the world is what I believe Jesus was saying. And beware of Pharisees is religious people. So don't think, I'm not a religious person. Those of you who know me, I'm not. I just believe Jesus. That's it. I believe his word's true, and I'm going to live that way. All right? Everything I do for a reason. It's not just a form of religion. A form of religion will not get it done. Trying to be a good person will not work. All right? It doesn't work. And so he taught us, don't think like the world, which says there is no God. Don't be religious, who says, well, there's a God, but. Okay, that's the easiest I can put it. Don't be adding but with things. Look at what the word says and then live that way, all right? Limitless living starts by getting into what we'll call the God flow. Fasting, praying, hooking up with heaven, and then living my life out of that flow. Does that make sense to you tonight? That's really what effective prayer is about. All right? Not getting God. You can't twist God's arm. I mean, know that. It's impossible. You can't. Well, God, I need you to do this and just keep coming and just keep coming. That was another thing we looked at in this series. You know, the woman that came to the unjust judge. Now, keeping on coming is important, but you got to come according to the law. How many remember in that story a few weeks ago, that woman who came was granted her wish by the judge because she came according to the law. And how do we know that? Because you don't go to a judge unless you have a document that proves the law says this. Are you with me? So it's not enough to just come. You got to come the right way. I hope that makes sense. I really want us to get the most out of this that we can. Let's read on verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient. And this is how we always think. We look at our situation and say, well, I know this is our situation, but even if we did this, it's not enough. We will automatically think that way, every one of us, automatically. But we're training ourselves to look at things differently. Not sufficient for them, for that everyone may have just what? A little. It's not enough that they could have just a little. That is natural, carnal thinking, all right? One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? So you see here again, one is saying, boy, even if we went and bought food, that first of all tells me they had some money, if they even thought that. But they said, if we did that, we'd have barely enough. Then another one says, well, we got a boy's lunch, but what's that? So both of them, even though they have 2 different things they're looking at, their attitude is the same. It's not going to meet this need, all right? And first of all, we have to realize, and that's something that they did get right, is they don't have enough to meet their need, all right? And you got to, if you're going to live a limitless life, you have to remind yourself, I don't have enough, but God does have enough. And that's what we'll see through this whole thing. You and I can never have enough resources in ourselves to meet the need in a kingdom way. All right? The resources will flow through us from the kingdom of heaven, but it's not something we do on our own. You don't go out and say, well, God wants me to do this, so I'm going to go out and borrow as much money as I can and get it done. And you know, I'm not against borrowing money, but if you don't hold on to it, it can really ruin your life. If you don't get, you know, borrow money for a home or something, but save for a down payment first if you can, really. But the thing is, so many times people, and I know in business, you know, you can borrow money, but you really need to be wise and make sure that it's not more than it should be. And it's just smart to try and do things really in a smart way, but don't go out and just borrow money and try to get things done naturally. And that's what we try to do so much of the time is, well, I can do this, and we run out and we have our plan and we try to do it our way, all right? That is not what we're talking about. Kingdom provision is always beyond what we can do in the natural. It's based on the word of God, and that's what we're going to see tonight. Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that his Father, matter of fact, one place, Jesus, you can look at the way Jesus operated. He spoke the word all the time. He is the word. The Bible tells us in the first chapter of John that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and then it became flesh. Jesus is the word. Are you with me? Okay. So Jesus was always speaking the word. One time he was going to raise his friend Lazarus from the dead, and he said, I thank you, Father, that you always hear me, but for the sake of these here, Lazarus, come forth. For the sake of these here. He said, I know that you always hear me, Father. So Jesus was living a life where he knew already what Father God was going to do, and then he just operated out of that. Jesus understood his call. He was called to be Jesus. Jesus didn't go everywhere and do everything. How many know that? He didn't. He did what he was supposed to do. All right? And you and I need to do what we're supposed to do, but it comes from finding out what Father God wants to do in my life and then operating out of that. Kingdom provision is always sufficient based on his promises. It's time for you and I to start praying bold prayers. Stop praying get-by prayers. Stop looking at just what I have and say, well, I guess this is all I'm ever going to have. You know, God doesn't want everybody rich anyway. Now, not everybody can handle the same amount of money. But God wants increase. And you say increase? Your increase may be different than somebody else's increase, but God wants your life to be increasing, constantly growing in kingdom principles. John 6, verse 10. And then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place, so we know this wasn't Michigan. So the men sat down in number about 5,000, at least in the middle of January. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, being thankful is so important. I'll just throw that in there. It's so important that we are thankful. You take a look at what you have, you're thankful for what you have, and you say, Father, I thank you that you're increasing this and that I'm getting in line with what you want to do in my life. And then you hear his voice and you act accordingly. He distributed them to his disciples to those sitting down, and likewise the fish, as much as they wanted. Do you see the difference here? When we started this, the disciples said, even if we did this, we won't have enough. But when Jesus works a miracle, when it's according to God's will of what he's going to do and already predetermined, there's enough that they can have as much as they want. I mean, no, that is a limitless life. That is a life that there's no boundaries. As much as you want, all right? Now, you're not supposed to just consume things for your own desires, your own lusts. That's crazy. Remember, we have to take everything we're teaching all into consideration. Take everything that's in the Bible. First of all, you've got to be praying. You've got to be seeking Father God. You've got to be meditating on the Word of God. And some of this you may say, well, that just sounds like some work. It does, but you're already doing something anyway. You're just doing the wrong thing. Can you hear me tonight? All right? You are spending time on something. And I'm not against entertainment or any of that. I've said it before, but I've got a doctor friend of mine, and he has a name for a TV set. He calls it the income reducer. Okay. Because you're always doing something. But what are you doing? You have time to learn the Word. You have time to pray. You have time to fast. You have time to claim the promises of God. To say, Lord, I thank you that you're bringing me into a land that is full, a land where I didn't have to build a house, a land that I didn't have to cultivate it. You're bringing me into something that's way beyond what I could ever do. How do I know that? Because it says so in Deuteronomy 6:10. So I know God is increasing my life. And you can know that too. And maybe you do. But they had as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so nothing is lost. Gather up the fragments that remain so nothing is lost. So they not only had as much as they wanted, they had leftovers. Leftovers. I think this is the first Thanksgiving meal here, really. We think it happened in this country. But there. So notice he had a plan before the provision came. He was expecting something. His plan was really just, okay, we don't have enough, but I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to believe God for a miracle because Father God has already spoken to me that he's going to meet it this way. See, Jesus, I'm going to show you some scriptures to show you this is how Jesus operated. Jesus already knew that Father God was prepared to work a miracle that day, and he was in the God flow to make it happen. And you're going to see that right now that may not make complete sense to you, but you'll see it in a minute. That's why it's so important to fast and pray. You know, that's why it's, I mean, we need to confess the Word of God and all those things. But so many times people will confess the Word of God year after year after year, but they're not lining up their life with what Holy Spirit is telling them because they're not taking time to quiet down. They're not taking time to settle. They're allowing themselves to maybe become over-religious, allowing themselves to become too complicated. I hope you're hearing me tonight. I've seen so many people fail at this, and I'm not where I need to be. I'm not talking that way. I've got a long way to go. But I know where it's even failed in my life. Listen, you and I have got to hear what God's saying and then operate out of rest. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 that we should work to enter into the rest of God. And that comes through meditation, prayer, looking at the Word of God, taking time. Everything we're talking about on this fast. All right? Too often we execute our plan. What we need to do is execute God's plan. So we had them all sit down, knowing what was going to happen, gave thanks, and then distributed. All right? So we need to get a hold of God's plan and then act that out. Provision simply means providence or providing for the vision. What is the vision God has given you for your life? And if you don't know, you need to find out. You do. Take time and pray. Meditate on the Word. Say, Father, what does my life look like to you? What do you want me to do with my life? Now, what are the steps that I take? Not just running out and doing our own thing, but allowing Him. Now, He wants to work patience and tenderness and kindness. Look at the fruits of the Spirit. We don't have time to turn there tonight, but Galatians chapter 4, 15 through 22, talks about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Let Him work the fruits of the Spirit. This is not something you don't say, okay, I prayed. Okay, you know, you get in your prayer closet on Monday for 10 minutes on Monday night, go to bed, get up Tuesday, it doesn't happen, you say it don't work. Okay, you're right, that don't work. You got to be committed to this for the long haul. That, okay, God, even if I don't get the results I'm looking for right away, I'm going to keep hearing you, Lord. Did I hear something wrong? Speak to me today. Those who are the sons of God, hear His voice. How do I know that? Romans chapter 8 tells me that. Are you with me? And you wait, and you hear it. Say, okay, God, I'm going to rest here in your presence. No place I'd rather be. No place. That's not just a song. Here in your love, I'm just going to rest in your presence, no matter what it takes, because He's working in us to will and to do His good pleasure. When God executes His plan and we allow Him to, then we get as much as they want. Leftovers. To remind them, I believe, to remind them that God has more than enough. You remember in Mark 4:19, we're not going to turn there tonight, but it was in this series too, where Jesus told them to collect everything, just like we just read here, and they were going out, and they forgot to bring bread, and Jesus said, beware of the leaven of Herod and the Pharisees, and they thought it was because they forgot to take bread, and Jesus said, don't you remember? Don't you remember when I fed the multitude that there was leftovers? And He's trying to get them to understand, look, God's kingdom never has lack in it, ever, ever. If I get lack after lack after lack, now there's rough times sometimes, but if all I'm producing is lack, guess what? I am not in the God flow. And that we may that may upset you tonight, but I just love you enough to upset you. There's times you got to believe God for things. There's times that things could be tight. But if you're constantly lacking, always lacking, never seeing progress, never moving forward, and whatever it is you're believing God for, something might be up. Especially if you're not resting in His presence, especially if you don't have peace in your home, especially if you don't have some of the fruits of the Spirit being produced in your life. Are you with me? How many want to slap me right now? How many know exactly what I'm saying, all right? See, Jesus was able to live in such a way because He had intimacy with Father God. And that's really, you know, if there's one thing that I preach, I don't care what message I'm in. And those of you who know me for a few years, you know. It's just be passionate for God. Be intimate with God. Learn to hear God's voice. That is my heart's cry. It has been for as long as I've been a Christian. It just has always irritated me to see Christians who don't hear God's voice and don't know how to read the Word. Ever since I was just a young Christian. God put that in my heart. And I've just continued. Look, you and I want to hear God live in a way that we're having intimacy with Him, where I enjoy His presence more than anything. That's why I can, that we can skip food. That's why that we can take time away to be with God. If the only time that you worship is in church, I challenge you to start worshiping on your own. Your best times of worship should be one-on-one. I mean, you know, you may not be a musician. Well, get a CD. Get online. Get an iTunes account and buy 5 songs. It'll cost you $5. If you don't have $5, I'll give you $5. I don't care if you listen to the same 5 songs over and over. I don't care if you listen to 1 song. Just get that No Place I'd Rather Be, here in your love. Set a fire down in my soul. Say, Lord, I'm just going to sing this until your fire burns. And I'm going to tell you what, your fire will start to burn. And you'll start to hear his voice. But what ended up happening is Jesus had such intimacy with Father God that it built trust and confidence in the plan of God for his life. I know to some of you, you may be thinking, you're talking about Jesus like he was a person. He was and is. Okay? Understand, he not only came to be our sacrifice, he came and taught us how to live. That's important for us to know. He trusted Father and his plan more than he trusted himself, his mind, his will, and his emotions. I'm going to give you some scriptures for this. Jesus trusted Father God's plan more than what he could understand in his own brain. All right? Now, he did a great job of it. Come and say amen. But he had to pray. He had to fast. See, Jesus never had fear of lack because he was acquainted. I'm going to read that over. Jesus never had fear of lack because he was acquainted with the fullness of the presence of God and the resources of heaven. When you start to tap into the presence of God, the resources of heaven, even if you don't have what you need immediately, you know you have more than enough. That's why Paul the Apostle, that's why he could say, I know I have a little, I know I have a lot. It's Christ who strengthens me, right? All right? Philippians 4:13. But Jesus had that, so much better than any of us, but that's our goal. He knew that no matter what, that's how you can live and say, okay, we're going to go over in the first fish, just the first fish that comes out, we'll have money in there for the temple tax for you and me. So he told Peter. They went and they got the temple tax, they went in. Because he just knew where the supply. Now, he could have went and said, go get Judas. Go get some money because he was the treasurer. He held the bag. But he said, go over there and get some out of a fish. Why? Because that's the way God was going to provide that day. Is this making sense to you? All right? If it isn't, then take some time to figure it out. I'm doing the best I can. One sure way to limit God in our lives is by trusting in ourselves and others rather than God. One sure way to limit God in our lives is by trusting in ourselves and others rather than God. What do I mean? So many times, I have seen so many people that are used to doing things their own way. Well, I've done this, and I've had success here, and then we're so used to doing that because we've got a little bit of success in ourselves, but we're really not getting what God's best is for us, all right? And then we're learning really how to use relationships and people. Now listen, relationships, people, learning some good skills to apply to what it is God called you to do, that's all okay. But if your trust is in your preparation of your skills and the relationships that you have, rather than your time spent with God on your face, tapping into his resources, which are more than enough, even when the circumstance doesn't change, then you're not getting God's results. John 2:24, it says, but Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. See, Jesus didn't trust the praise and the accolades of men. I guarantee you, Jesus was very, very polite. He honored those because the Bible says honor everyone. I mean, if the Bible tells us to honor people, Jesus honored people. But he didn't trust them. People are not your source. Relationships are extremely helpful, very beneficial. In fact, they're important. You need them. All right? But your relationship with God is the most important thing. Because the thing is, when people build you up and give you confidence, they will tear you down and destroy you. Even if they're not trying to. If your confidence is in the fact, Pastor Tony is going to say hi to me this week and shake my hand, then you better, first of all, come to church every week, twice a week, and everything in between. That won't get it for you. Okay? It won't. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust other people. I'm not saying you can't trust people, that people aren't trustworthy. You understand? I'm saying trusting them as your source to accomplish what God's called you to do. I hope that makes sense to you. 5:19, John 5:19. Then Jesus answered and he said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." Jesus saw how Father God would do it, and then he did it that way. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust your financial planner. Don't trust the economy, please. Don't trust the government. I don't mean don't support the government. I don't mean don't vote. You should. But listen, governments topple and they change. He didn't even say to trust pastors or prophets. Don't trust what I'm saying tonight. Check it out. But I believe I have the Spirit of God, and I believe what I'm teaching you is exactly the way Jesus lived his life and wants me to live my life and wants you to live your life. Don't trust anything or anyone more than you trust the Lord for your source, for your direction. I mean, I have people, Pastor, let me speak. Then they'll pray over me or they'll say something. Sometimes it's like, amen. Other times it's like, are you done? Why? Because I'm spending time with God. And if people speak something over my life, it's like, okay, yep, that's right. I know. It might even be a revelation that I maybe didn't know, but it bears witness with my spirit because I am spending time in his presence. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Sometimes people say, well, I think God's telling me this for you, and you're like, love you. Thank you. Psalm 37, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Delighting yourself in God is how you get the desires of God deposited in you so that you get your prayers answered, so your life is now living in the God flow that we're talking about. Proverbs 3, 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. 1 Corinthians 1:26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things which are mighty. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in what? The Lord. So look, this is not based on how smart I am, how much education I have. It's not based on my preparation outside of spending time with God. That's our preparation. Matter of fact, I look, this is one of my favorite scriptures because I'm going to tell you, I've been married now, Trish and I are coming up on 26 years we've been married. Whoo, wow, you don't look that old. Well, anyway, yeah, I know. But and so she's the only one in this room right now who's known me that long. She's known me almost 30 years. And I'm going to tell you, now she's always seen greatness in my life, but even her seeing great things, you never would have thought me standing here being a pastor, teaching people. I mean, come on. It's like, forget about it. When I was 30, 28, 29, 30, are you kidding me? There is no way. No way. I didn't get saved till I was 31, just to help you out, okay? So it's ridiculous. And even at that point, I mean, I've been a pastor on staff at different churches now for about 16 years, 17 years. But even before that, I mean, I just love the Lord. To even be thinking I'd be pastoring, I mean, you know, and you may not be called a pastor. Whatever your call is, you got to do it. Whether it's in business or whatever it is. I think we're all called to be ministers, and we've talked about that in whatever call it is that you're in. But the thing is, to the extent that you trust yourself, you are not trusting God. To the extent that you trust yourself, you are not trusting God. I've referenced this in our notes, but I didn't have you put it on the screen. If you can look this up for me, Aaron. I want to look up Judges 7. New King James is fine. Judges 7, or whatever you've got in there. I know with the internet down, I don't know if you're limited. And if you can't put it up, that's fine too. But I want to read Judges 7, 2. And this is the story of Gideon. Some of you may know the story. God raises up Gideon, tells him, I'm gonna beat the Midianites with your army of 300. This is what he says here. And he takes, they start out with 22,000, and God dwindles it down to 300 and said, now you're ready. Yikes. Look at this. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into your hands. Check that out. Say what? You and I would never think like that. This is why you need time, and I need time in the presence of God, because we naturally don't think like God. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise where you are and believe that God's going to do great things in your life. But it says here, you have too many for me to give the Midianites into your hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me. You know, when you claim glory for yourself, you're against God, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now, 300. Now listen, Bible scholars, there's an estimate, because the Bible doesn't tell us how many Midianites there were, but when you reference history and the time period and the armies that are mentioned, because there's multiple armies, multiple camps in what makes up the Midianites, there was anywhere between 150 to 300,000 Midianites. Really? Oh, your army's too big. 22,000. I mean, 22,000, I'd be like, this fight ain't fair. But even when that guy said, it's too big. I mean, no, that's why God can take a few fishes and loaves and feed a multitude. And he can do it in your life too. 2 Timothy 1:12, he says, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he, say he, is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. Let me ask you, everybody, look here. What have you committed to God? What have you committed to him? I mean, really committed to him. We've got to trust God with our lives. When you're having a good day, guess what? God's in control. If you're having a bad day, God's in control, and he's engineering your life. You got to believe that. God wants you and I to succeed. He wants us to succeed. I'm going to have to end with this. Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation, deliverance, with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do your good pleasure, or his good pleasure. Now, you may read this and say, well, wait a minute, Pastor, that's saying two different things. No, it's not. Work out your salvation, your deliverance with fear and trembling because God is working in you. That means you better, with fear and trembling, get in his presence and let him start to work something in your life. If you want God to move in your life, your part is to spend time in his presence. Your part, my part, is to desire him to tap in to what God wants to do in my life. I'm probably supposed to stop, but I want to say a couple things. You don't have to put any of this up there, Aaron. See, God is working obedience in your life through circumstances. The question is, will I press on or give in? He's not leaving it just up to us. He is using every situation to point us towards his will. The question is, do I see it? Or do I quit when there's conflict? Do I quit when it seems like I don't have enough? Jesus claimed to have finished the work that the Father gave him to do, and then he prayed for his disciples. And in John 17, he said, I've glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given to me to do. And then he prays that you and I would be one as his Father are one. So Jesus is really inferring that you and I need to finish our work, and the way we do that is to be one with Father. Are you with me? Jennison Franklin says this. He's got a couple of churches. He's on TV. If you've never, he's got some great books. We've got them on the website. Jennison Franklin, in his book, The Spirit of Python, he says, trust and dependency on God followed by obedience is how you stay connected to the source of your spiritual life. Listen, we have got to learn how to connect with God. Three things to intimacy. Number one, desire. Do I desire his presence? And you might want to write these down. Desire. Do I desire his presence enough to remove all distractions and learn to hear his still small voice? Number two, discipline. Am I establishing a place of meeting and waiting for him? Number three, delight. Your greatest times of worship, we've already said, should take place when you're alone with God. Do I have a desire for God's presence? Am I disciplining myself to establish a meeting place for that? Do I delight in his presence when I get there? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God tonight, and I thank you for these people here that have heard it, that you are building faith on the inside of us as we read your word, as we meditate on it, as we come to you, as we learn your voice. And so tonight I just pray that you would continue to work in us to will and do your good pleasure, giving us a desire and the power to do the things that please you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Have a great night. Come on out this weekend. We're breaking the fast together on some